are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is happening and welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Tuesday, October the 1st. And media day is behind us. It is now officially NBA basketball season. This is your boy Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, a sports writer here in Detroit City covering the NBA for the Detroit News and Associated Press, Pistons fan and follower my whole life, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Thanks for staying with us throughout the offseason, and congratulations, you've made it to the NBA season. Today, we're going to break down the media day scene for you guys and detail my first big mistake of the new season. I'm sure you guys are all excited to hear about that. We're also going to talk about what's different about this team, a little bit about the atmosphere at the Palace of Auburn Hills today, and what's changed about the feel of this team a little bit later on. We're also going to hear from Joe Johnson a little bit, the newest Detroit Piston, a guy who is coming over to fight against Father Time a little bit this year, take it on, punch it right in the mouth, and see what kind of career is left in the legs of the 38-year-old future Hall of Famer. We'll talk about that a little bit too, but this is a good time of year to give me a follow on Twitter at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. Also, the Locked On Pistons Twitter account, and check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons - Matt Shook. But like I said, media day, it was Monday, and I told you all last week on Monday's show also that media day is coming up, and it will be Monday afternoon at Little Caesars Arena. Well, that was my first mistake of the 2019-20 season. It was not at Little Caesars Arena. I was wrong about that. I showed up at Little Caesars Arena early, ready to go, and was told by security there that it had been canceled. The media day was canceled. He pulled up his sheet of paper that had it on there and had it crossed off. I was like, what the heck? Apparently, it was originally scheduled to be at Little Caesars Arena. It was at Little Caesars Arena last year, in my defense. But I checked my email about the notice about it, and clear as day, in the first paragraph announcing that media day was on Monday, it was actually at the Pistons practice facility. And not the new one, but the old Pistons practice facility in the parking lot of the Palace of Auburn Hills, a building that I thought was done with as far as the use for the Detroit Pistons. But the Pistons, if you did not know, obviously moved to Little Caesars Arena going into year three at LCA. But in these last 2 years, they still have practiced at the Palace of Auburn Hills facility there, because they're building the new facility in the new center area just about a mile north of Little Caesars Arena in Detroit. And that's where the team headquarters is going to be, the practice facility and all that stuff. And that building is not done. The completion of the construction of that is not done yet. But apparently there will be a ribbon cutting ceremony on Monday, the day of the first preseason game, according to Vince Ellis of the Detroit Free Press, about that. So, again, the most important part about my story from Monday is that I'm an idiot. I should have read the email. My fault, no doubt about that. But I just guessed it would be at LCA like it was the year before. However, at LCA on Monday, instead, it was the Chris Brown concert. So it meant apparently that was the reason that they couldn't have it there. And even though the Pistons media day was done at 3:30. So I don't know. I guess it's one of the perils of using a multi-use arena and of being kind of the second-class client behind the Detroit Red Wings and some of the other events and concerts that happen at Little Caesars Arena throughout the year. So anyways, they are moving into the new facility next week, and that, since it's not ready in time, I will report almost certain about this. The training camp starts today on Tuesday at Michigan State University in East Lansing at the Breslin Center. So LCA wasn't available on Monday. They had it up at the Palace. The arena they moved out three seasons ago out of, and they're still holding some stuff up there. Anyway, so I got there late, missed the press conferences of Ed Stefanski and Dwayne Casey. Thankfully, I was basically just writing one story that I just needed Dwayne on a one-on-one interview that I was able to get from him when I did show up, and then got some audio of some of the players that I'll be playing for you guys over the next couple of days, and we'll talk about what they said. I got to tell you this, though, a little bit more from the scene. It was as uninteresting, and all media days are very uninteresting and underwhelming, but it was even more underwhelming than usual, and I will say that a lot of it because of the unusual setup that they had. They had everyone literally on the practice court, So like a third of the practice court was set up as like kind of a quasi press conference area. The player at the table was sitting kind of a little bit higher above the media than usual and a little bit further away than usual. So at the Little Caesars Arena, they have a really nice, perfect little sized media press conference type of room that has good audio. And in this gym, there's not very good audio. I couldn't hear a lot of what are the other questions that other media members were saying. It was just a wide open space. And so it was tough to kind of hear some of the other media members, and it made the questioning a little bit disjointed. So, for instance, when Joe Johnson was up on the podium, I was ready to ask a question, and he was looking to his left, and I would have been to his right. And since he was looking to his left, there was no way I could hear anyone on the media side over there. So I was assuming that he was being asked a question. Well, apparently he was looking for a question, and since no one was asking a question at that time, they just said, all right, it's over, he's done. And that was it. And so Joe Johnson was only up on the podium for about 5 minutes. And I remember that last year when this was done in kind of the better room and the better audio environment, the better conversational environment with the players kind of being almost at our level when you're speaking to them, and also being sit at the table closer to the members of the media. And I know this is the biggest inside baseball thing you could even possibly care about, which I'm sure a lot of you don't. But just to kind of break it down, I don't know that there was a lot of insightful questions or answers that were given throughout the entire day. And I missed a couple of the players after Stefanski and Casey, but I'll look back and watch some of the videos, listen to some of the audio that's out there. And it just wasn't a very illuminating media day in any way, shape, or form. Also interesting was that, you know, there wasn't an introductory Derrick Rose press conference. There wasn't one for Joe Johnson. I think Tony Snell had one. But so these were that was kind of the main things with the first time that the Detroit media was able to talk to those guys in this kind of format. But like I said, you've got they're doing videos in the back. They're doing a bunch of the photos in the back. And it was just kind of not a great environment for all these things to happen. And not that I'm faulting the Pistons. I know that obviously if they had it their way, they'd be either the new facility or at Little Caesars Arena. But because of the way this franchise is set up and the way the timeline has been happening for a lot of these things, it's just not possible for them at this time. So just kind of my I guess you could call it a little bit of a complaint, but of course me with the mea culpa of me being the biggest problem of the day and showing up late for media day. I don't think anyone else of the entire media group did the same thing I did. So obviously it wasn't the fault of the communications of the Pistons staff or anything like that. It's just me being an idiot. But anyway, something that I'm not an idiot about is telling you about Manscaped. Manscaped is number one in men's below-the-belt grooming. Go ahead and get 20% off and free shipping for your first order with the code LOCKEDON at manscaped.com. You know you need that. But up next, I'm going to tell you what's different about Media Day, some positive things, and kind of a little bit of not a controversy, but something that I'm going to be keeping an eye on with the vibe about the Detroit Pistons early on in the season and as this regular season gets underway. That's up next here on the Locked on Pistons podcast. Yes, sir! A little bit later on, I'll play some clips of Joe Johnson for Media Day. He's probably the Piston that I am going to have my eye on the most during the preseason and on training camp as he's fighting for that 15th roster spot with his 38-year-old legs fresh off of the Big 3 season. But overall with the team, I wanted to report to you guys that I feel like even though I was there for one day, this is very preliminary, I do think that there's a little bit of a different feel about this team. Not sure if it's a positive thing or a negative thing, but it's something that I'm going to keep my eye on and keep my spidey sense up about. And I say that because of the presence of Derrick Rose and Joe Johnson, among others. You can throw out kind of Tony Snell into that mix as well, Markieff Morris. Now, again, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that D. Rose is going to be an all-star or anything even close to that, or that Joe Johnson has anything at all left in the tank. That remains to be seen, obviously. But these guys do bring a certain kind of cachet. These are two guys that you could make Hall of Fame cases for. I don't know if you'd be correct or if you'd be crazy. That's maybe another conversation for another day. But again, will it ultimately matter on the court that you add Derrick Rose and Joe Johnson, a bunch of guys, all sorts of all-star appearances from their past between them. I don't know, but I do believe so far that there is a presence there that is different about this team. I do wonder how it impacts the development of the young guys. Who's going to gravitate towards playing alongside some of these big personalities, some of these big athletes? Keep in mind, a guy like Derrick Rose, and I don't know this for certain, but it wouldn't surprise me a bit if there are players on the Pistons whose favorite player was Derrick Rose, 8 years ago or something like that. How does a Bruce Brown react to that kind of thing? We'll see. MVP players, Joe Johnson, one of the leading scorers in NBA history as far as active players, and certainly on the top 50 list of all time for most points scored. That's important to figure out in terms of who's going to be able to develop alongside these guys, because those are big questions that the Pistons have to face in terms of roster decisions, extension decisions, contract decisions, how to develop the Sekou Doumbouyas of the world. Sekou, saw him spending quite a bit of time kind of milling around Derrick Rose, by the way. It's going to be interesting to see if that's a relationship that evolves, and if maybe Derrick Rose, who talked at the podium about being a leader, and I'll play some of the audio from Derrick Rose a little bit later in the week, but talks about becoming a leader, and maybe he sees the 18-year-old as kind of a vehicle that could be a way for him to kind of help out a kid who not only has a lot to learn in terms of his game and the NBA basketball game in general, but obviously adjusting to a new country, coming over, speaking his second language over here, being a guy who grew up in France. So another side note from the biggest things that I took away from Monday is that I would encourage you to read John Neo's column in the Detroit News, my colleague there, about Blake Griffin and Dwayne Casey and load management coming into this season. Just as I predicted, it was something that Dwayne Casey talked about today. It's kind of his new approach coming into this season. By the way, that doesn't change some of the complaints that I had about the lack of load management for Blake Griffin last year, but I would expect my wishes to be answered and that he would see some games off for Blake Griffin, some practices off as well, just ways to kind of lighten the load for him as the season goes on. Now, speaking about the dynamics of the team and the leaders and the veterans in the locker room, someone who nobody really wrote about, and when I'm reading the articles from Vince and Rod and John, Neo, and I haven't seen James write anything up yet, but nobody's writing about Andre Drummond. And certainly there's reasons for that. It's kind of more of the same for him. You would expect that he hopefully becomes more of a defensive guy. He talked at the podium about becoming the defensive player of the year. That's kind of his goal coming into the season. That's great to hear if you're a Pistons fan. But I do wonder about what I was talking about with that feel, that vibe, that locker room hierarchy that they have with the Pistons. You got obviously Andre and Blake being at the top of that totem pole last season, Blake sitting at the top of it. But those are the two best guys on the team, no doubt about that. But with the room shifting a little bit in terms of the veterans, I wonder if that messes up with Andre's comfort level a little bit. We know that Andre is maybe a little bit more sensitive than your average star athlete. These kind of things kind of enter. He's a guy who's thrown off his game very quickly by the Joel Embiids of the world, thrown off of his game by a couple of block dunks by Brooke Lopez in the playoff game there. We've seen him kind of melt down at times, and I think he's someone that handles these off the court, in your head kind of things a little bit worse and a little bit differently than some other players around the league. So I'll be interested to see how he reacts to the new mix of the locker room a little bit. Maybe that he's not as sacred of a cow as he was, when there was no stars, no big names, no big personalities really to speak of. Because when you think about it, the names that we talked about, Markieff Morris, Derrick Rose, Joe Johnson, to a lesser extent, Tony Snell, guys that have played a lot in this league, have big reputations, big pedigrees, big accomplishments. They're replacing guys like Ish Smith, Jose Calderon, Zaza Pachulia, Glenn Robinson III. These are four, the guys I just named there are four of the nicest, most agreeable, most deferential, just great locker room guys that you could possibly have. And to Blake Griffin's credit, he goes out of his way to say great things about Andre, to kind of pep him up through the media a little bit when there's tough times, to compliment him if he has big games. It's almost like Blake notice kind of the older brother vibe that he has to have with Andre Drummond for him to be successful. But I just wonder, in this team as a whole, when you have guys like Derrick Rose, who, you know, let's face it, these guys are kind of fighting for the rest of their careers. Derrick Rose wants to squeeze some more positive, productive years out of his career, wants to win a championship, wants to make deep playoff runs. How's he going to respond to the night-to-night Andre Drummond, performances that we know are a little bit uneven at times? Except, you know, there's been times that he's been great as a player, especially the second half of last season as part of that. So, you know, Markieff Morris, is he a guy that's going to be, you know, soft-pedaling Andre Drummond on certain times? So just, I wonder about Andre Drummond and how he will mix with some of these older veterans. And maybe I'm making too much of an issue about that, and maybe it won't be a problem at all, and maybe Andre Drummond will continue to grow and mature as a player and as a leader with this team as well. But like I said, the competition is tough. The competition level is up, and the personality is a little bit different. But I said that coming into the offseason this year, I thought that this was okay. You could add some personalities. You could add some variables into this locker room, a very good locker room, and I think they could absorb some of these strong personalities in a room, and I think it's something that this team could handle. It's going to push the leadership capabilities of Blake Griffin. He's the alpha in the room. He's the guy that everyone kind of looks to be the adult out there. That didn't work out in L.A. for the Clippers with Chris Paul. His personality, I obviously wasn't there. Don't know who to blame and who to point fingers for that one. But this is kind of Blake's second chance of running his own team. And this is a team that's got expectations this year. No one in this fan base, no one in this media environment is going to be satisfied with just making the playoffs again. And certainly no one's expecting a deep playoff run. But the expectations is that this team is competitive in the playoffs this year, as opposed to being the eighth seed and getting housed completely by the Milwaukee Bucks in the first round. So, you know, who responds to that competition level being up? Guys that are trying to salvage their careers, and those veterans that they brought up, the Bruce Browns, Svi Mykhailiuk, Khyri Thomas of the world, can those guys all come along? Can those guys be lifted up by that, or one of these guys or two of these guys going to be out of the league in a year or two, or out of this team at the very least? The Reggie Jackson, Derrick Rose dynamic, how is that going to go? Reggie said all the right things that Media Day always does. Introspective guy, happy-go-lucky seeming, but we know he's had moods in the past. Two-point guards that have both dealt with injury problems in the past. Reggie Jackson talked about how he admires that Derrick Rose has handled his business with the injuries that he's had that have been catastrophic throughout the years as well. What's Markieff Morris's role? Sekou and Thon, all guys. Thon, a guy who's kind of approaching the crossroads of his career as well. Sekou Doumbouya, how is he going to come along? Who's going to put him under their wing? Is Dwayne going to give him some minutes early on in the season, or is that going to be something that's more of a, we know that Sekou Doumbouya's dividends are going to pay off for a couple years down the road in any kind of major way, but can we start getting some glimpses? Can we start throwing them out there so that maybe that development happens sooner rather than later? So there's some crossroads coming up for these guys. I think that this era of Pistons basketball is reaching that crossroads as well, with certainly Reggie Jackson going to free agency next summer, one of the leaders, one of the highest paid guys on this team. Andre Drummond seemingly looking like he's going to be a free agent next summer as well. And I think after year two, we'll have a better and more clear picture of Dwayne Casey and Ed Stefanski, what these guys have as far as a vision and what they can do. Where is this ship headed? So I think just from day one, a lot of these big questions entered in my head in a more profound way than they had when it was all kind of theoretical, talking about rosters and talking about matchups and win-loss and over-unders and all that kind of projection type of stuff. So it got real to me on Monday, and we're going to be interesting to see how that unfolds, starting with training camp today at MSU. And of course, I'll make sure and I'll double check that that's where camp is before if I head out there this week. But is your company looking for a new way to reach customers? You could be mentioned right here, right now on the Locked On Pistons podcast. Podcast listeners are 60% more likely to interact with the sponsors that they hear on their favorite shows. Our demographic is 98% males, with more education and more earning power than traditional media audiences. So have your company sponsor the Locked On Pistons podcast. Email me at matt_shoch, S-C-H-O-C-H, at yahoo.com to find out more. Up next, We're going to hear from Joe Johnson a little bit. I'll plug in the ways where I'll basically just cut out all the questions because you couldn't hear it from the audio. But we'll plug in some of the questions and also just kind of play some of his responses that don't need prompts and questions so you can hear those as we go. That's up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, which is a proud member of the Locked On Network, your team every day. All right, we got some Joe Johnson clips from the press conference at Media Day on Monday. Like I said, the audio was a little bit tough to hear the questioners with the answers from Joe Johnson. So up first, he was asked, if this was the plan all along to go play for the Big Three, ultimately with the hopes of returning to the NBA.
I had no clue. That wasn't even my purpose for playing in the Big Three. You know, my purpose for playing in the Big Three was... I had two of my teammates from college who was on my team, and just to have that camaraderie, have fun, and use it as therapy, just to have something to do. Obviously, I stay in shape. I work out daily, so I take good care of my body, and it just kind of organically led to, you know, teams seeking out to want to see me work out, want to see me play, and that's just kind of how it happened.
What do you think about this
opportunity? Well, we got a great group of guys, man, who. I think the sky's the limit. And you got pretty much everything on this team. You got good point guards, great bigs, some wings. And then you got a great mixture of younger guys and older guys and vets. I think it can definitely go a long way. So I think we got a great, great chance here. That's why I'm looking forward to this opportunity.
You mentioned why Detroit, but you also had other opportunities.
Yeah.
Other to go elsewhere. I guess speak to maybe the relationship you have with Arntell and how that helped you also maybe make the decision here. Arntell may also talk to you with Dwayne Casey as well.
Yeah, well, Arn used to be my agent, you know, before he took this job. So, you know, when this opportunity came about, obviously, you know, getting a chance to kind of sit down and talk with those guys, you know, it was great. So I felt comfortable and I felt like it was a great place. And, you know, I didn't even go work out for like three or four teams. I had worked out for like two teams previously before I came to Detroit. And I had like four more workouts and I just canceled. So, because I thought Detroit was a great place for me.
You say you weren't thinking to get back into the NBA and that was the reason you went to the Big Three. What's one thing maybe you missed about the NBA and now you're glad you're back in it?
Man, you can't make up for like the camaraderie you have with the guys, the bus rides, the flights. Those are the things that you miss. I mean, because obviously, you know, as you get older, you can't play this game forever. So to be around the guys is probably the most thing that you miss the most. Oh, I just gotta come out and play my game, have fun. There's no way to pressure on me. Like I said, you know, this opportunity came about, and I'm thankful for it, but it wasn't my purpose to play in the Big Three to try to get back in the NBA. But I still do love the game. Like I said, I keep myself in great shape. So to be able to get a chance to come out and compete, you know, with these guys, it'll be fun.
Joe Johnson from Media Day. Like I said, I'm going to have my eyes on him during the preseason and also during whatever we're able to see from training camp. Worth keeping in mind that this guy did not play in the NBA last year and had a bad season the year before that when he was still in the NBA and now is at 38 years old. It'd be a great story if he contributes a little bit for the Pistons this year, but I am bearish on it. I'm not feeling it. I don't really think it's going to happen, but like I said, it seems like that this team, and Vince Ellis wrote about this in an article that I went up on Sunday, I think the day before Media Day, how he's hearing that Joe Johnson has the inside track to get the 15th spot on the roster ahead of Christian Wood, which I know probably makes some Pistons fans upset, but it also speaks to the confidence that Dwayne Casey has in Joe Johnson and the organization as well, and also maybe speaks to what they feel as far as some of the other options that you might have at the 2 and 3 spot for the Pistons. And we know that Joe Johnson is probably more of a 3 these days, but... probably speaks to if Sekou Doumbouya is probably not going to play all that much if Joe Johnson makes this roster, especially early on. But a lot of big questions and a lot of things to read into, as you know we will here every day on the Locked On Pistons podcast. Hey, glad to be back with you guys for basketball season. Glad to be back on the four-day-a-week schedule. I'm up late here on Monday night doing this for you guys, and I look forward to doing it for you some more. But I need you to do your part and spread the word. social media, tell your friends about the show. We'll get the numbers back up to where they were around trade deadline time, and grow the community, make some money, and look forward to spending the 2019-20 season with you guys here on the Lockdown Pistons Podcast. This is your host, Matt Shook, saying thanks for listening. Thanks for spreading the word. Talk to you guys tomorrow.